Hey guys, welcome back to the show. I have a major announcement before we begin today. A major announcement. To my listeners, I've prepared a statement, by the way. To my listeners, I love you. I really love you. I have a survey in my hands right now. I have a physical copy of a survey in my hands right now that says that we've been voted the sexiest podcast with the sexiest listeners to any podcast that there's ever been in the history of man. Congratulations, guys. Congratulations. This is a major award. This is something I never thought that would happen this quickly, but it's happened. A couple of months ago, God damn, that's loud. A couple of months ago, you know, a survey company came to me and they said, John, we want to track, God damn, that is loud. They said, John, we want to track each and every person that listens to your show, and we're teaming up with Mark Zuckerberg to install a third-party backdoor software in their Android as well as their iPhone devices, and then we could generate profiles on every individual that listens, and we could determine the sexiest podcast that exists. But I didn't go for that shit. I want you guys to know that I didn't go for that shit because I value my listeners' privacy online. So instead, I've actually been driving around for the past week, and I visited. Well, I don't want to say I visited. That would get me in legal trouble. But I sat outside of many of your homes, and let's just say I was in a late 1980s model pickup truck. And I'm just kidding. I didn't do that. Basically, we've been able to determine that you're the sexiest, and that's all you need to know, right? The conversation that, no, it doesn't say that. It says, so congratulations to me because this is a major award. I've had to type this up beforehand. When something is this major, you've got to get it right. As long as I can read, we're going to get through this. But when I started this podcast, I was never aiming to make the best content. I was never aiming to have the highest download numbers. I was just trying to cultivate a community of listeners with rock-hard abs as well as pleasing physical features. And this is confirmation that I've done that. So congratulations to me. That's all. Now for the show. Congratulations to you too. Congratulations on your rock-hard abs, your sexy-ass features, and I just want you guys to know that given the opportunity to make, if I had the opportunity to make love with each and every one of you individually as well as collectively, that I would do it without hesitation. Now for the show. You know, I lived in an apartment complex with freaks one time, and that's next. I'm going to tell you that story. I'm going to tell you that story because the news is too depressing to cover this week. Oh, thank you guys for coming back to the show. My name is John. This is I Can't Complain. Now officially the podcast with the sexiest listeners in the universe. And that's a title that I'm going to hold on to until the end of time. Thank you for making this the sexiest podcast out there. I'm going to tell you a story this week that I've been holding this one. Because this is truly top-tier content. I'm going to tell you about the most frightening thing that I've ever seen. And I'm going to tell you about living next to eight freaks for a year. And how you cannot come out of that situation unscathed. Do I wake up in the middle of the night and have night terrors about my time when I lived on this property? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I'll likely have one the rest of my life. And there's no amount of therapy or counseling that can erase these memories. They're trapped in my mind. Casper, who you heard in the wedding episode, he was my roommate, and we moved into Craven West Apartments when I was 19 years old. I think I was 19. I might have been 20. So it was about like 2007 probably when we lived there. And we thought we were moving into an apartment complex of, you know, normal blue-collar, working-class people, and we quickly found out that we were wrong. We were moving into an apartment complex of freaks. We were moving into an apartment complex where, let's just start here, eight different apartments. There were eight apartments on the property made of all brick. We moved in, and one of the first people that caught our eye was a gentleman by the name of Henry. I use the term gentleman very loosely because this man was drunk in the morning on a regular basis every single day. This man, if you got up early at 7 or 8 a.m., he would be walking to the gas station and he would be scoring himself a 12-pack or a 24-pack of beer, which he would proceed to drink on the front lawn by 10 or 11 a.m. that morning. And he would do it every morning, every single day when we lived there. So, okay, first off, if you just came over at 11 a.m., you'd have a guy hammered beyond belief, wandering around the yard. He was 4'5" tall, probably. I don't know what ethnicity he was because he spent so much time outside. He was extremely tan, but he had the accent of somebody that was born in southern Louisiana, you know? And during the entire time I lived there, I probably understood 3 or 4 sentences that he said to me the entire time we lived there. Basically, everything he said was unintelligible, except I do remember one thing. He claimed to have the mayor in our town. He claimed to have painted the mayor's house one time, and he hung on to that like it was his life's work. Like he was Picasso or something. Like he created, like he was very proud that he knew the mayor and that he painted his house. So that's Henry. Henry had an overbearing, overweight wife, by the way. A wife that was quite abusive, and you'll hear more about this later, but she was not afraid to hit poor Henry. She was not afraid to strike poor Henry out in public with no fear of repercussion. She was not afraid to yell at Henry that was drunk out on the lawn and tell him to come inside and do something for her. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was sexual or I don't know. I really don't know what it was, but poor Henry. Poor Henry. He was so drunk and he was so short and he was so abused. His wife, Liz, would just... I have to think that she just beat the shit out of him, honestly. So that's one of the people that lived there. We also had some sort of a man who preached the gospel of Christ or something. He preached the gospel. I don't know much about that man, but he had a son that was affiliated with some sort of gang. He had a son that was, so we have a, so far we have 4 freaks. And then directly next to me lived a man by the name of Matt Jones. And I'll say his full name because it's a very common name. But Matt Jones lived right next to me. Matt Jones, who I never saw without a hat on, who drove his Mustang. He had a Mustang. He had a black Mustang. Maybe it was red. No, it was black. He had a Mustang that he drove like it, like, I don't know. He drove it like a 1991 Toyota Tercel or some shit. He drove that Mustang so gingerly. To this day, he's the only person I know that will not claim an intersection. When he was in an intersection and the light was orange, he would just sit there. He wouldn't go. He wouldn't. He was very conservative fellow, but he was sweet. So over the course of the time that he lived next to us, we started to call him Sweet Honey. That was his nickname. I don't know how he got that nickname. But we started referring to him as Sweet Honey, and then I eventually added brown sugar onto it. So by the time that we moved out, we were calling him Matt Brown Sugar Sweet Honey Jones. And Matt Jones was a good guy. Matt Jones was probably one of the few people there that wasn't fucked up beyond belief. Because on the other side of us, we had a man named Jacob. Jacob the liar. Jacob the liar that was a pathological liar and would lie to your face and... One time he told my buddy and I that you could decapitate a man with a t-shirt. You know, just totally outrageous shit. And sometimes when he would lie to you, he would try and rope other people into the lie by telling, he'd be telling you a lie like, oh yeah, yeah. Like, oh yeah, Nate was there. Nate remembers. Like, Nate would be like, oh, I wasn't there. I don't know what you're talking about, you piece of shit. So he was just a pathological liar that would rope other people into his lies, even though they wouldn't back him up on his lies. Couldn't trust him. He had a wife named Fat Stacy that I never saw come out of the house. Fat Stacy that was probably too morbidly obese to even fit through the front door at that point. These are just some of the characters. These are just some of the characters that lived at the property. We had Danger Dave there. Danger Dave, the first time I ever met this man, I went over to see him. And he's outside the house and he bends me over the rail. Bear in mind, I had not ever spoken to this man before. He bends me over the rail and pretends to sodomize me from behind. That's how I was introduced to Danger Dave. Danger Dave that has a college degree. He had a college degree and he was using the college degree. I believe he set up banquet chairs. My buddy and I always joke, like, get a college degree just to stack chairs. And he talked like this. He's like, yeah, I'm Danger Dave. I stack chairs. At one point, does a college degree become totally worthless? I'll tell you, when you see Danger Dave stacking chairs for a living with a master's degree, I don't know how it just proves that if you have money and you're admitted and you can, as if you get in and you have money and you keep paying them, you can get any degree you want. Because if Danger Dave can get a degree to stack chairs at a banquet hall for a living, then, you know, it really devalues the institutions of higher learning. It really does. So these are just some of the freaks that lived at this apartment complex. Next to this apartment complex, by the way, was an identical apartment complex with men in their early 20s that I never saw with shirts on that would just lay out in the sun all day. And that apartment complex, the other one that was identical to ours, we would refer to as Muscle Beach, because it was just men laying out with their hot, sweaty, greased up bodies all afternoon long. That was Muscle Beach. But at our apartment complex, Craven West, it was just a conglomerate of freaks. And our apartment complex was, I mean, our individual apartment was not much better. We didn't do much to really add to the ambiance in a meaningful way. I mean, we were basically pieces of shit too. We had an apartment complex where we didn't even have a trash can in the kitchen. We didn't have a trash can in the kitchen. Instead, we had a trash pile. Just months of trash that we would, now, I don't want to say it was like food and shit like that, but it was just papers and trash and stuff. And I guess we didn't want to buy a trash can, or we couldn't afford a trash can. So everything that we discarded, we just threw in a pile in the kitchen. And I remember my cat Molly, who was a kitten at the time, that cat essentially grew up in that pile of trash. That's where that cat went to just rest. Anytime that cat needed a rest, it would just go in and burrow itself in the pile of trash in our kitchen and just sleep there all afternoon. Meanwhile, we would have house shows at our house. We'd have local bands that my friends were involved in. They would play instruments in this tiny, like 10 by 10 room or some shit. It was a very small apartment, but they would come over and they would play house shows, and we'd invite all the freaks from the neighborhood over. And I remember one time Henry was over there and the band is playing as loud as the band is playing in a small room, you know, very loud. And I guess Henry's wife, Liz, didn't approve of him being over there that late at night. So she came over and basically pulled Henry out by the ear, yelling at him, hitting him, abusing him in front of all these strangers. Nobody at that apartment complex gave a shit. Nobody in that apartment complex gave a shit about anything. Henry, by the way, would go on to, one day he gave me some money to buy some paint because I worked at a paint store. And that day when I opened the front door, because I heard the doorbell, I get out of the shower, wrap a towel around me and go to the front door. And what do I see? Henry drunk as fuck with a shotgun pointed in my face, asking me where his $20 were. So where are my $20? I said, fuck, man. You know, you just gave me that 20 yesterday and I didn't go to work today. Take your $20 back, you drunk bastard. And I remember throwing $20 at him and closing my door as the shotgun was pointed directly in my face. These were the freaks that I lived with. These were the freaks that inhabited that home. All that, I say all that just to set up this. The living room of our apartment there was disgusting. All we would use that living room for was to play Super Smash Bros., Mario Kart Double Dash on the GameCube, and smoke weed. It was filthy. It was filthy to the point to where I remember there were just wine stains on the carpet. Red wine stains on the carpet. This is the environment that we lived in. And I say lived in because we had bedrooms, but there was a couch that was so comfortable in that living room that my roommate and I would take turns sleeping on the couch because it was the greatest couch I've ever owned. It was so comfortable. We loved that couch. But the problem with all of this is we allowed someone that we barely knew to come stay on that couch for free. This is a gentleman that was nicknamed Gimpy. And Gimpy would sleep on that couch until he eventually broke it because he was morbidly obese. Gimpy would break my favorite thing that I've ever had, which was that beautiful orange couch. He busted it with his fat ass. Gimpy caused the downfall of the entire apartment complex, as far as I'm concerned. Gimpy was so disgusting and so morbidly obese. I mean, not really a bad guy, but he was so morbidly obese. I got a call from Casper one day at work, and he said, John, there's a problem. I said, what's the problem? He said, John, Gimpy shit on the toilet. I was like, oh, man, what did he do? He shit on the toilet seat? He's like, no, he shit on the back of the toilet. There's shit all over the back of the toilet. He said, I don't know how he got his ass in these positions to shit on the toilet like this. I rush home and it was already cleaned up. But from that moment forward, I knew that Gimpy was a truly disgusting individual, but I wasn't prepared for what was coming. I wasn't prepared for the lowest. Man, it's hard to even think about. I wasn't prepared to see what I was about to see. One night we had a party. It was not at that apartment, but it was at an apartment down the street. One night we had a party and I was on like mushrooms or cough medicine. I don't remember which. Anyway, I'm down the street at the party and I wasn't feeling so well. I remember my stomach was cramping or something. I was just like, oh man, I'm in pain. I'm going to go home and, you know, rest for a little bit. Maybe I'll come back to this party. I go home and I walk in probably 2 a.m. I walk into our dark apartment at Craven West Apartments. I walk into our dark apartment and the TV is the only thing on. The TV is the only thing illuminating the living room. And we'd eaten chicken wings earlier that day. I remember my buddy and I had eaten Hooters chicken wings. To this day, it's the last time I ever ate Hooters chicken wings. It was before this day. Anyway, we had Hooters chicken wings for lunch. I remember we were on like mushrooms or cough medicine. Turns out Hooters chicken wings are not that good when you're like on like a bunch of cough medicine and mushrooms. We'd eaten the chicken wings and we had discarded the bones. We were also very, very, very poor at this point. So we didn't waste any of that chicken. I can tell you that 100%. We didn't waste any of that chicken. So what do I see when I walk in? I see Gimpy laying on the dirty wine-stained floor, illuminated by only the light of infomercials on television. And Gimpy is laying on the floor, eating the carcasses of our used, discarded, eaten up chicken wings. He's just gnawing on the bones and eating the gristle of chicken wings we discarded into a pile of trash. And Gimpy at that point, I remember he didn't even have the self-respect to look up at me. I saw him and he just kept eating. There's something about seeing a morbidly obese 20-year-old man laying on a filthy carpet with wine stains, eating gristle and used, just eating bone. He was really just eating bone at that point. He was gnarling on bones. I remember just hearing the gristle between his teeth as I slid past him to get to my bedroom. He didn't even acknowledge me. This man was so caught up in that gristle and those bones that he wasn't even interested in acknowledging me. He should have felt ashamed of himself at that moment and hidden, but he didn't. Instead, he just didn't even look up at me. He just kept chewing. And as I heard the gristle between his teeth and I saw the wine stain that he was laying in on the filthy carpet, and I saw Ron Popeil with the fucking, what did he have? Set it and forget it. Whatever that was he was advertising. I saw Ron Popeil illuminating Gimpy as he lay on the floor and ate discarded chicken wings while I was high on mushrooms, and that's something I'll never be able to forget for the rest of my life. It was truly disgusting. It was a low point not only in my life, but also in humanity. Oh, man. My entire time in that apartment complex, it was just one big low point. And I haven't told you guys about the time that I lived with a dozen lesbians. I've been saving that story. That was, when I tell you the dozen lesbian story in the future, that wasn't a low point. That was an exciting point. My time at Craven West, while it was fun sometimes, it was a low point. It was a low point because we were completely broke. I remember my friend Cole and I, Cole wasn't working, but I was working like part-time. This was probably 2008 or 9 by this point. We lived there for more than a year now, I'm thinking about it. This was like the beginning of like the recession, and jobs were drying up. So I'd been reduced from full-time to part-time. So I wasn't making much money. Most of my money went to rent and bills and pot. We were smoking a bunch of pot back then, smoking pot and playing Smash Brothers every goddamn day. But I remember we had so little money that I would occasionally get paid and have a little left over, and Cole and I would go out and get sandwiches, and we were eating so little that sometimes we would go out to eat and get sandwiches and we would take like 2 or 3 bites and be full because our stomachs have shrunk because we were malnourished. We were surviving off only like ramen, and I remember we would eat like packaged hamburgers. We would eat packaged hamburgers and ramen. And some days we would go hungry and we wouldn't eat anything. But if we ever went out for a proper meal, our stomachs didn't know what to do with it. They might basically we'd become accustomed to surviving on nothing. And I guess Gimpy had become accustomed to surviving on nothing to the next level to where he was in bad shape, man. I got Gimpy a job at a Papa John's Pizza that you could literally see from our apartment complex. You could see the Papa John's. If you went out in the front yard of Craven West, you could see the Papa John's sign. It was maybe 100 yards away. And I remember we worked hard to get Gimpy a job at Papa John's. And he went to work a few times. And then one day he asked me for a ride to work. He said, John, can I get a ride to work? I said, Gimpy. I took him out in the front lawn. I remember this. I said, Gimpy. And I pointed at the Papa John's. I said, you work right there. It's 100 yards away. Just walk to work, man. Just walk to work. And he said, no, I can't do it. He didn't say this, but he said he was basically saying, no, I'm too fat and too lazy to walk that 100 yards to Papa John's to go to work. So instead, he lost his job. He lost his job because he didn't want to walk to work that day. And that's sad to see. That's sad to see. He also couldn't control himself. I remember one time I bought him a pizza, and I remember the only stipulation was you have to make this last for more than one meal. I said, Gimpy, if I'm going to buy you this pizza, you have to save some until tomorrow so you don't go hungry tomorrow. And so he thought he was smart, and he sat down in front of this pizza, and he ate everything but the last bite. And he said, look, I saved some for tomorrow. And I said, this isn't – I said, you're really finding a loophole in all this. But he said, yeah, I didn't eat it all. I saved a bite for tomorrow. And then his fat ass, a half hour later, I look over and he had inadvertently, without thinking about it, eaten the last crust in the box. This is a man who couldn't control himself. And because he ate the entire pizza that night, he went hungry the next day. Couldn't even control himself to save a slice till tomorrow. Couldn't even control himself not to save one piece of crust. Inadvertently stuffs the last piece of crust in his mouth and has to go hungry for the next week or whatever it was. This was my time at that apartment complex. This was an apartment complex that was only fit for people that didn't care about themselves. People that were content to just smoke massive amounts of weed, go hungry, and play Smash Brothers. And that's what I lived with. Me and Molly, my cat that lived in the pile of trash. This is what we endured. But something about seeing Gimpy in the dark eating used chicken wings. I don't even know. I've never come up with a proper word to describe what he was doing. But basically, he was eating discarded trash, gnawing on bones and gristle. And you see that. There's no way to redeem yourself from that point. I don't know where Gimpy is nowadays, but I hope he's doing all right. He wasn't a bad guy. He was just a disgusting guy. He wasn't a bad guy. He was just a disgusting piece of shit that ate our trash out of the trash pile. I don't know where he is nowadays, but I hope he's doing all right. But there's no redemption from that point. There's no coming back from that. There's no you don't hear about heads of state and presidents that have laid on a dirty carpet in wine stains eating used chicken wings. I don't think that anybody that has got to any place of I don't think he could be a supervisor of anyone. I don't think that he could be trusted to supervise other individuals after you eat used chicken wings. I'm not sure where he is nowadays or what he's doing, but I have to believe that he's doing something very maybe he's like a janitor overnight at a school. Maybe he's just probably kept away from people to do menial tasks for the rest of his life after that. It's like a scarlet letter for him. Everybody knows that he ate those chicken wings. Even if he doesn't tell him, you can just look into his eyes and you can just see that that's a man that's eating discarded chicken wings laying on the floor in the middle of the night. And it terrifies me. It's scary. Our entire time at that Craven West apartment complex, it wasn't bad. I had fun. I have fond memories of it, honestly. It was the type of place where no night were you going to go without drink or smoke there. even if you didn't think you were getting stoned or drunk that night, it would get to about 10 o'clock, you know, after dark during the summer, and somebody would wander in with a ball pack or a blunt, maybe a few shrooms, maybe they had a bottle of Evan Williams, I don't know what it was, but people would just come over there to get fucked up and provide me and the people around me with things to get fucked up to. So the entire 3 years that we were there, or however long it was, I don't remember how long we stayed there, but it's just all blur to me. It's all blur, but the one thing that's not a blur, the one thing I'll never forget, is Gimpy laying on the floor eating those chicken wings. And I'll never forget Henry with the shotgun in my face. I'll never forget Fat Stacy or Liz. I'll never forget Matt Brown Sugar Sweet Honey Jones or Danger Dave bending me over the railing and pretending to sodomize me, even though I didn't know who he was at that point. By the way, the preacher with the kid that was affiliated with the local gang, he would break into Matt Jones' house and steal his guns from him. I remember one time Matt Jones was showing off his weapons, and for some reason he thought it was a good idea to show off his weapons to, you know, gang-affiliated 16-year-olds, but they broke into his house and stole all his guns. And he was surprised. That was the same... Matt Jones lived right next to us. Anyway, we had a party one time, and basically somebody kicked a hole in one of the walls of one of the bedrooms. Basically, you could see from our apartment into Matt Sweet Honey's apartment. Sweet Honey's apartment and our apartment were linked through a hole in the wall. Was it a glory hole? No, it was not. We never used it as a glory hole. Glory holes are real. I'm going to go on a tangent here, but I feel like glory holes are like a thing that's kind of become more popular in the last 10 years, because at no point did we think to use it as a glory hole. I just remember Matt Jones would have movie night, and instead of going over to see what movie was playing that night, I would just look through the hole in the wall. I would look through the hole in the wall to see his television set to see if I wanted to go over there and watch the movie. That was the type of place we were living in, the type of place with holes on the wall and people eating trash off the floor. And a shitload of Smash Brothers and a shitload of Mario Kart Double Dash. I played so much Mario Kart Double Dash that I consider myself to probably be in the top 5 of all Mario Kart Double Dash players on the GameCube in the world. And I say that without joking. Whether it's regular mode or mirror mode, I've probably played, oh man, I want to say I've probably played 5,000 hours of Mario Kart Double Dash, and I don't know if that's an exaggeration. I would have to probably sit down and do the math, but we would play Smash Brothers every day, and then we would get high, and I remember we would play like anywhere from 4 to 5 hours of Mario Kart Double Dash every day. And I became very, very, very good at it. My friend Cole, the man who got married in the wedding episode, he's also very, 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 very good at Mario Kart Double Dash. To the extent to where, I don't know if I could do it nowadays, but back in the day, you could have blindfolded me and told me which track I was running, and I'm pretty sure that I could finish some of those tracks without actually seeing everything. It was just muscle memory. I mean, and we were working with like tenths of seconds. Like if we got like, because I remember we would do like all 16 races, and if we got into a race and we were like, let's say I was doing all 16 and something bad happened to me 8 races in, we would just restart. I mean, we were demanding perfection of ourselves. Have you ever demanded perfection of yourself? Because I have. I've demanded perfection of myself at Mario Kart Double Dash. Craven West Apartments. What a little exciting time period in my life that was. But man, Gimpy. I can forgive him for shitting on our toilet, and I think some of it got on the walls too. And I can forgive him, though it took me a long time, I can forgive him for damaging my couch. He busted out all the springs in it. My favorite piece of furniture I've ever owned, and he ruined that. I can forgive him for those things, though, but I can't forgive him for mentally scarring me. I can't forgive him for eating chicken wings off the floor in the middle of the night like an animal. Like a banshee. Like some sort of a freak. But really, that was par for the course at Craven West Apartments. Craven West Apartments, where only freaks lived. And I'm not going to say that I wasn't one of them. I'm not going to pretend like I wasn't one of the freaks. So that's the story. I hope you guys enjoyed that. I don't know what you'll get out of this episode other than be thankful if you don't have friends that eat off of filthy carpets. Be thankful if you don't live around piles of trash. Be thankful if you don't have kittens growing up in piles of trash. Be thankful if you have money to eat, because back then we didn't. Be thankful if you don't have to eat box frozen hamburgers. Be thankful if you don't have to have shotguns shoved in your face and see overweight women boss around men in their 40s. And be thankful if you don't walk out every morning and see a man drunk on your lawn, drunk and intoxicated to the point to where he's stumbling around and it's only 11 a.m. and you know it's just getting started. You know it's not going to get any better. You know that while you were asleep in this morning that there were freaks roaming around the property. Be thankful if you don't live in a place like Craven West Apartments. And that's all there is to that. Guys, thank you for joining the program this week. This has been I Can't Complain. And that's that. That's that. Wanted to do something a little different this week. The news, we got a new COVID variant. And I don't really care. I mean, I don't care to report on it. I'll tell you that. I don't care to report on it. I don't care to report. I did have a few notes. Let's get the notes out of the way. Let's get a few notes out of the way that I had. I have a note. I was listening to somebody talk about Dr. Fauci, and it occurs to me he's like 80 years old. And this is true. I guess we'll do 5 minutes on this. Anthony Fauci is 80 years old and ancient as fuck. And I think that generation has just held on to power way too long. The younger silent generation and the older boomers have hung on to power way too long. And I just wanted to say that when my generation turned 65, when millennials turn 65, just throw us in the trash, like the trash pile that I've been talking about. Just throw us in the trash and get rid of us. We need to be the first generation to realize that we're too old and we just need to step out of the way and die. So I hope when millennials turn 65, that we're just executed on the spot. That's what I wanted to say. I don't know. I don't understand why these people are just holding on to power. Who wants to be in power this much? You just want to die with power. That's all these people want to do. They just want to die with power. Just want to die with power. Also, I've written down here, you should want to get your news from boring people. So don't just create hype around everything. You should be able to sit down for the nightly news and hear your news anchor say that today in the People's Republic of Congo, 1,000 people were raped every minute on average for 24 consecutive hours, which set a new world record for the struggling nation. And you should just sit back and listen, you know, casually and lean back and you say, fuck, that's a lot of rapes. And then you should take another swill out of your can of beer. If you watch Rachel Maddow and Tucker Carlson and you develop your whole identity out of watching these people on a nightly basis, you sicken me. And that's all I want to say. That's all I want to say this week. I've talked about the pile of trash. I've talked about Gimpy. And yeah, that's it. That's all. Bye. See you next week. This has been the I Can't Complain program, the only program where you get to hear people. You get to hear about Gimpy eating chicken wings off of a filthy carpet. Bye.